produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. We're so happy you've joined us again for another episode of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matt and Stephanie Garrity, and we are founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center and founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit to bring awakening, refreshing, revival, new life in Christ to communities, to regions, to states, to the nation, and even the nations. We believe that God wants not just one local area church, but we believe that God is calling the body of Christ globally to work together in order to be a force to be reckoned with, advancing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Everyone counts. Your prayer matters. Your worship and praise matters. You matter. And in order to stand against the evil, the Antichrist systems that we're seeing try to be pushed upon this world right now, we need everyone to stand their watch. We need everyone to do their part in the body. You matter. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, God loves you, and God paid a price for you to live and not to die. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but receive everlasting life." So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let today be the day where you say, "Enough of this. I can't stand the ruin and the horrible situation I've got going on in my life. There's got to be more to life than this." And respond to the goodness of God, which has been leading you to repentance all along. You should have got worse than you're currently experiencing right now. Life might be bad, but it could have been a whole lot worse. Maybe you feel like, I just really sense this, that you shouldn't even be here right now. You should be dead. Well, that's because the goodness of God has led you to repentance. You're hearing this broadcast for a reason, and God loves you, And he's calling you to come to him. And so we've been talking about last week and the broadcast, actually a few broadcasts before that as well, this concept of this gem of the upper room. We believe that we're in a time of rediscovery of really what the Bible says. Many people look at Acts chapter 1 and 2 as kind of like this revelation of the upper room, of the concept of the upper room, where Jesus told his followers to go to an upper room, and while they were in that upper room, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, would come down and would fill the house and would baptize them, speaking in tongues, following, and everything like that. But really, we've been talking about the last few episodes, last few broadcasts, how this is not really the first time the upper room was mentioned. And then I believe last broadcast we talked about you need to rediscover the prayer of the upper room. And that's found in Daniel chapter 6, where Daniel was a righteous man of God. He was a prophet of the Lord, you know, during the time of Babylonian captivity, as well as part of the captivity of the Medes and Persians of the people of God. And as they're in captivity, there was still favor that came because of Daniel's obedience to the Lord. And Daniel was a man of excellence. He was a man of an excellent spirit. And because he was a man of an excellent spirit, he was not wavering in his life regarding the things of God. And then in Daniel chapter 6, we find that there's the governors and the satraps and the administrators, everyone who was ruling under Darius, king of the Medes and Persians at that time, conspired against Daniel to take him out because they knew he was different. They didn't like the fact that he was a man of faith, and they conspired to destroy him. And he basically puts out an edict that says, anyone who calls upon their God, or anyone calls upon anyone except for me, the king, for counsel and for wisdom, is surely to be put to death. Specifically, the death of being thrown in a den of hungry lions. But yet, in the face of opposition, in the face of death itself, Daniel was unwavering, he was unshaken, and it said 3 times a day he went up to where? The upper room where he was, and he opened the window was open, and he prayed toward Jerusalem. And so that really sums up the idea, the understanding of the rediscovery of the prayer of the upper room, okay? But today, what I want to talk to us about, what I really want to key in on, is this understanding of what I call the mystery of the upper room. And that's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And specifically, it's found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. But we'll start at verse 8. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem. So this is Elisha, the understudy of the prophet Elijah. He was the protege. He was the servant of Elijah. And it says about Elisha that he washed the hands of Elijah, the prophet. And we also understand then that when Elijah goes to be with the Lord, that the mantle of Elijah drops and Elisha picks it up and he begins to function just as Elijah did, but actually with a double portion of his spirit, because that's what he asked for. And so we find in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8, Elisha, it says that now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Now watch the heart of these people. This is just a holy man of God. Verse 10, please let us make a small room on the wall and let us put a bed there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Verse 11, and it happened one day that he came there and turned into what? The upper room and lay down there. Verse 12, then he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What then can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And so we examine here in 2 Kings chapter 4, specifically verse 10, that this woman and her husband say something very interesting. They say, please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. And so we see that there's a room made for the man of God, and there's certain things in the room. There's a certain location of the upper room where it's situated, and this all has very significant meaning. And so let's look at each article, if you will, even a position of where this room is, and let's see what Holy Spirit will show us about this. So it says in verse 10, please let us. Whenever we hear the word us, I think the first thing I think of is really the first time I believe this is mentioned, when God said about mankind, let us, and he was talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, okay? So she says to her husband here in 2 Kings chapter 4, now let us make a small upper room. One of the things about the mystery, one of the concepts of the upper room is unity. We must understand if we're going to flow in the anointing of the upper room, if we're going to flow in the anointing of Pentecost, or what have you, whatever you want to call it, we're going to flow in that anointing. We first need to have unity. They say, let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us, unity, make a small upper room. Small always signifies humility. Remember, David was the smallest of all his brothers, and you know the prophet Samuel passed by all these strapping young men of the sons of Jesse, and he could have even been deceived if the Lord had not been speaking to him about the smallest of all of them, and that was David. And David was a young man, and you remember he's facing this giant named Goliath, but again, it was the small, the humility, and trust in the Lord, because if you're humble, your trust is in the Lord. If you think you're big and you think you're bad and you're full of pride, you're not going to need, want, or ask for God's help because you're your own person. You're good. I'm good to go. And people find out how sadly they're mistaken, because the Bible says that pride comes before destruction and there's a great fall that occurs. And so the mystery of the upper room begins with this. We need to understand there's certain concepts that if we're going to walk in that anointing, we need to have as part of our life. And we talked about let us, unity, make us small, humility, upper room. Where? On the wall. Somebody say on the wall. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Anytime the wall is spoken about in Scripture, it speaks of a wall, fortification, things of this nature. The concept of the watchman on the wall comes to my mind. And also not only watchman on the wall, but building a wall in prayer, building a wall in intercession, building a wall. Look what it says here. It says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. So God is saying here that you've not gone and did what you're supposed to do. I called you to be ones that would stand watch. I called you to be ones that would build a wall in prayer and stand in the gap, which speaks of intercession before me on behalf of the land, that what? I should not destroy it. But God said, I found no one. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not what? keep silent and give him no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And this all speaks of on the wall. This speaks of what it means to be on the wall. This room in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10, is situated specifically where? On the wall. And so, again, another facet of this mystery of the upper room is that we got to be on the wall. We got to be in prayer. We got to be sounding the trumpet. We got to be crying aloud and sparing not regarding the things of righteousness. All these things speak of on the wall. And then it goes on. It says, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put what? A bed for him there. Well, what in the world does a bed have to do? That's where people sleep, absolutely. But a bed always speaks of intimacy, because there's intimacy that goes on in the bedroom. But this is symbolically talking about intimacy with the Lord. We must have intimacy with the Lord if we're going to walk in that, what I like to call, upper room anointing. People want to change the world, but we need that upper room anointing, that anointing, that touch from God, that outpouring, if you will. To cultivate that, we need to have intimacy with the Lord. Matthew 5:33 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry and thirsting for more of the Lord, for more of his righteousness, more of his justice, more of him? If you are, the promise is this, you shall be filled. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And really other translations say in all your strength. Everything we have within us, we should love the Lord with. And the bed symbolizes this. Amen? So what was another piece that was in that room? Let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table. Table signifies this. It's a prophetic type of hungering and thirsting, and then not only that, but eating and drinking. We just talked about the scripture about hungering and thirsting for righteousness in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. But it's not just hungering and thirsting, but a table symbolizes actually communing, eating and drinking together. It's likened to the intimacy with the Lord, but it's a little different. Acts 2:42, it says that they continued steadfastly, the church did, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Amen? And the table speaks of covenant, just like the bed speaks of covenant. They're really intertwined, but it goes beyond just a hungering and thirsting. It's more, even more than that. It's a communing. I spend time with the Lord daily, and I eat. I eat what the Lord gives me to eat. I eat his word. Amen. The Bible says that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. And so what else was in that room that they made for the prophet? 2 Kings 4:10. Let's read it again. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let's put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair. Well, what significance does a chair have? Obviously, it's something to sit in, but a chair prophetically speaks of waiting and resting in the Lord, and it also speaks of regarding being seated in authority, or an understanding of your seat of authority. Amen? And so we know that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. That actually, his word says, as surely as, you know, if you're sitting down right now, you're actually seated in heavenly places with him, because you're royalty in his kingdom. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? But let's look at this understanding of a chair regarding waiting and resting in the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Hallelujah. We need to learn to rest in the Lord. That rest word is not a laziness. It's not being lethargic. But instead, it's resting and waiting on the Lord for the perfect time. Earlier this year, at our church, we taught a sermon series called Soaring and Roaring. And we taught about the eagle, how the eagle, to conserve strength and conserve energy, and to be able to function at the high level that creature does, it actually uses wisdom and waits and rests and waits and rests until it catches what's called a thermal. It's a specific type of wind gust. And as the eagle senses that the presence of that specific wind gust, it actually will catch those thermals and will ride up above even sometimes storms, dreadful storms, where other birds are flying the other direction. The eagle is catching these warm thermal winds and soaring above the storm. And as we understand this mystery of the upper room, and we understand that we need to wait and rest in the Lord, we understand that by waiting and resting in the Lord, we actually understand that we should have a vantage point of being above our circumstances and situations. We should actually have that same vantage point of being seated with the Lord in heavenly places. Because from God's perspective, problems never look big. Things never look insurmountable. But with the Lord, He's giving us His perspective when what? We wait and rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. When we rest in Him. When we wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. And so what was that last piece of equipment, that last piece of furniture, if you will, in that upper room? 2 Kings 4:10, let's read it again. Please let us, unity, make a small, humility, upper room on the wall, prayerfulness and watching, like a watchman. And let us put a bed, intimacy for him there, and a table, communion, eating and drinking with the Lord, and a chair, resting and waiting upon the Lord, and understanding authority, the authority of the believer, and what? A lampstand. So it will be whenever He comes to us, He can turn in there. So what the significance does a lampstand have? A lampstand, as a prophetic type, symbolizes, I believe, the fear of the Lord, and also a mindfulness of the second coming of Christ. The New Testament book of Revelation refers to 7 golden lampstands representing the 7 churches of Asia to which the revelation was sent. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, with one like a son of man in their midst. Revelation chapter 1 verses 12 through 20 says this, "Then I, John, turn to see the voice of them that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." Verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels or the messengers of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches." Okay. But watch what God says to this specifically the church at Ephesus regarding the lampstand. They are a lampstand symbolically in the book of Revelation. But watch what his warning was to the loveless church, the church of the Ephesians. Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write," or to the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, "these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden what? Lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and not become weary. Basically, you did all these things great. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you what? Have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your what? Your lampstand from its place, unless what? You repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, or says to the churches. And so the lampstand again speaks of the fear of the Lord. The lampstand again speaks of the second coming of Christ. It speaks of that we need to understand that it's God's church. It's his lampstand. And he can do whatever he wants with it. And we don't want him to come and take the lampstand. So we need to understand that we need to be full of repentance, full of the understanding of the fear of the Lord, walking, be holy as he is holy. And so if we truly want to walk in that upper room anointing, what I call the mystery of the upper room, we must have an understanding of this concept. There must be let us, there must be a unity. Make us small, there must be humility. Upper room on the wall, there must be prayer and a watchman nature, intercession. And let us put a bed, intimacy, worship, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And a table, fellowship, communion with God, eating and drinking, eating the word of God, drinking of the Spirit, and a chair, understanding that we need to rest and wait upon the Lord, and then we can mount up in wings like eagles, and then we truly understand that we can soar above the storm from the vantage point of Christ, where he says that you are seated with me in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And finally, a lampstand, which speaks of the fear of the Lord. It speaks of always being mindful of the second coming of Christ. Understanding that we're to have an awe of him. We're actually to have a holy terror. For even the Apostle Paul said that we persuade men to receive the Spirit of God, to receive Christ, because, first and foremost, even before he says the love of God, we persuade men because of the terror of the Lord. Because in other words, you know, you don't really have to fear Satan, but you need to fear the one that can destroy your soul in what's called the second death. And this is a very unpopular subject these days to preach, but listen, we need to understand above all that God is the only one who has the power to completely create or completely destroy. And many would fear the weather and animals and all these different things that are nature. But what about the one who created it? We should have an unbelievable awe and reverence for the Lord Almighty. And that also needs to be understood if we're going to walk in that upper room anointing. Many would say these days, oh, we need the fire of Pentecost again. And I say to you today that I think what we need is to rediscover Pentecost. We need to rediscover the elements. We need to rediscover what was actually going on in that upper room where it said they were in one accord, in one mind. Let me tell you something, beloved. They were in unity. Let us. They were in humility. They were on the wall. They were in prayer. It said they were in one accord. They were praying together in Acts chapter 2. And then there was intimacy. They were loving the Lord. They were worshiping. They were pouring themselves out to him. At a table, they were waiting on him. The Lord said to wait until the promise comes from the Father. They weren't impatient, but they were waiting. And a chair, which speaks of the authority that was to come. And a lampstand. They had the fear of the Lord. And so if we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, make your habitation here. Make your dwelling place here. Lord, we need a fresh outpouring. Pour out here, Lord. Make this your place to dwell. We need to understand unity. We need to be people who are unified in the things of God. We need to be humble. We need to be men and women of God of prayer and intercession. We need to be men and women of God of worship, of pouring, of lavishing our love out on the Lord, of loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to be a people of God that understand, oh, communion, eating the Word of God daily, feasting at His table, drinking of the Spirit. We need to be a men and women of God that understand the weight and rest in the Lord so that we might understand truly our authority with Christ in heavenly places as joint heirs with Him. And we must understand last, but I believe last is really first with this, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. We need to understand that the Lord is coming again for a spotless bride, and He will have a spotless bride through all the purgings and all the prunings. He is purifying for Himself a spotless bride. And so God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you, and may He give you His peace. May you understand more than ever before that we must walk in the revelation of the mystery of the upper room, especially in these last days where we got pestilence, we've got various natural disasters, all these things that the Lord told us would be present in these last days. But yet, during these times, beloved, I pray that you would arise and shine, as it says in Isaiah chapter 60, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God bless you, and we'll see you very soon. And thank you again for listening to another episode of Gems for the Journey. Until next time, God bless you. Goodbye.
We sing holy, we sing holy, we sing holy is the Lord. We sing holy, we sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858. All the pure ones, all the bright ones.
Greetings, precious saints. This is Pearline from God's Precious Pearls Ministry. My hope and prayer is that all is well with you as we continue to remain sheltered under the shadow of Almighty God. We give thanks for His continued care towards us and for keeping us and protecting us. At this time, I would like to give thanks to the Lord for our CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World, Michaela Paget, also to Josie Hopkins from Josie Inspirational Radio Network USA World, and Ewing Moving and Storage for sponsoring this program. Thank you, and may the Lord continue to bless you as we labor together to share the good news throughout the four corners of the earth. Let's pause to pray for a moment. Father, it's in the name of Jesus I come to you with praise and with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus. Thank you for His mighty name. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your continued protection over us. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to die for us. We thank you, Lord. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough. Father God, we thank you for your peace during this troubling times. We thank you, Lord, for protecting us. We thank you for being a shield round about us, oh God. Lord, we do not cease to give thanks to you always. And Father, we think also about those who have experienced difficult times during this time, those who've been ill, those who've lost loved ones, Father. We pray, Father God, for your grace and your mercy and your peace and strength and comfort to be extended to them even now. And for those who are sick, Lord, we pray for their healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, for those who are facing difficulties, oh, some are homeless, some are jobless, Father God, we ask that you meet all their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Father God, we give you thanks. And Lord, I just yield myself to you right now. Father, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus as I go through the airwaves. And Father, I'm asking you, Lord God, to prepare the hearts of our listeners, God, that whatever you have given me today will be received. And Lord, we will leave completely changed. Now, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, Father. Well, we have been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and today we will continue. In previous broadcasts, we talk about the growth process of the seed. Then we spoke about the fruit of love, joy, and peace. And today we're talking about the fruit of long-suffering. I'll remind you again of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are very foundational for our spiritual growth. I remember many years ago, as I was preparing to minister at a women's conference, the Lord prepared me, and what He actually said to me was, women, and not only women, but people in general, but this is what He said to me: some women cannot give nor receive because their foundation is broken. I had to deal with the wounded spirit, but one of the things the Lord wanted me to minister, He gave me instructions to tell my daughters that the only way they can be truly successful in me is to study my character, to know who I am, and that is through the fruits of my spirit, He said, the fruits of the Spirit. So this is so foundational for our lives. It establishes us in the Lord. It builds us up. It forms us completely because this is His character. So we're talking today about the fruits of long-suffering, which is patience. What is the fruit of long-suffering? What does it mean to suffer long, to be patient? Yes, it is to suffer long, to gird up under pressure, persecution, and trouble, to remain steadfast, to be patient, long and patient endurance of an offense or a situation, being good-tempered. It is only through the help of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that we can practice the fruit of long-suffering. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The fruit of long-suffering allows God to patiently work out His will and purpose in our lives. During this purpose, we will suffer, and yes, it may be over a period of time, as well as the suffering may be long and intense, but the outcome is maturity and fruitfulness along with wisdom. It is during this time of patient endurance that we demonstrate to the world and those around us the goodness of the Lord. We actually have a testimony as we demonstrate the goodness of the Lord. This can be a time of the demonstration of faith, hope, and love, and trust in God. And even though we are suffering, it becomes, as I said, a witness, which often leads others to the Lord. Long-suffering produces endurance. This is the ability not to give in to self-pity, anger, despair, or resentment, but to patiently endure, knowing that God is working His purpose out. Long-suffering prevents unforgiveness as we apply this to our lives and as we purpose in our hearts to be patient. Colossians 3:12 to 13 tells us, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Psalm 86:5 says, "For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." You see, whatever we're going through, and as we call upon the Lord, we're hurting. The hurt may be, you know, as I said, a long period of time. It may be intense. It may be painful. But as we call upon the Lord, He's so abundant in mercy that He ministers His peace and allows us to hold on and to endure what we're going through. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's mercy, but He's always willing to forgive us and patiently, He's always patiently waiting for us to come to Him, and He forgives us of our sins. God is patient and merciful. He was even patient and merciful to sinful Nineveh. He sent Jonah to call them to repentance. Romans 2:4 tells us, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leads you to repentance?" God is so patient and merciful towards us that when we sin against Him, judgment is withheld when we repent. This time frame is given for us to repent. If we don't, His wrath and judgment is poured out. We should never underestimate God, believing that because we are not immediately punished, we have not sinned against Him. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. To the very end, God is patient with us." As we strive to be like Jesus and to bring glory to the Father, we too should be kind-hearted, patient, and tender towards each other. Remember, we're one body. Ephesians 4:1 to 6 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." I go on to read to you also 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, to be patient, which is long-suffering, and in humility, correcting those who are in a position, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We cannot be patient, that is, practicing long-suffering, without walking in and operating in the love of God. It is this precious and important fruit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that helps us to suffer long. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us, love suffers long and is patient, it is kind. I personally believe that this is so vital to the body of Christ. If we truly love each other, the body of Christ today would be strong and mighty army for the Lord. Instead, we strive with each other to our detriment. We compete with each other, therefore we have problems with our spiritual growth. In all relationship, love is the super glue which keeps us together in unity. In our marriages, the first attraction is love. When there's a breakdown of this love relationship, everything falls apart. We know the marriage relationship is likened to the relationship between Christ and the church. All the fruits of the Spirit are important and vital to every relationship, not only love, but long-suffering is vital to maintaining a healthy relationship and a marriage. A lot of love, long-suffering is needed. Remember, this is the bond that holds us together unto perfection. Having the fruits of the Spirit operating our lives will take care of every area in our lives, but remember the bond through long-suffering. That's the glue that holds us together. We ourselves are not perfect. As I expect others to be patient and long-suffering with me, so should I be to them. Remember, we forgive as we would like others to forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As we grow in faith, we need the fruit of long-suffering because we face many trials and, you know, we may want to give up sometimes, but no. Being patient and long-suffering allows us to hold on. Our faith is developed and we mature spiritually through our trials. The development of a pearl is not an overnight job. It is through irritation of a parasite within the shell of the oyster. We who have been tested and tried and irritated, we have become God's precious pearls through the help and ministry of the Holy Spirit during our times of suffering. This really has been the training ground, our times of suffering. Just as the oyster pours out the nacre on the parasite or grain of sand, the Holy Spirit pours out the anointing oil upon us and ministers God's grace and his peace to us. As we patiently endure, we become stronger. Each trial makes us stronger. Not only stronger, but wiser. James 1:2-4 tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, which is long-suffering. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, it's doing a perfect work. Verse 12 tells us, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James is not telling us to be joyful because we are facing temptation. We are joyful because of our faith and trust in the Lord, knowing that, and as it says here in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for God, for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What's the purpose? It's God's deliberate plan to make perfect that which concerned us. It's a proposition, an advanced plan, an intention, and a design. God is conforming us to his image. So therefore, we must practice the fruits of the Spirit, we must practice long-suffering, which is kind, which is being loving, which is being kind and patient towards one another. And, you know, it's good when we are rested in the confidence that the Lord is in the midst of our trials. He is going to work it out for our good. Remember, this also produces wisdom. And this is known as experiential wisdom, which is God's wisdom. We will never forget what we've been through. And during this time, we've been formed. A little bit here and a little bit there, gradually we've been conformed. It's like the butterfly, metamorphosis. We've been changed from that caterpillar to the butterfly, where we fly off with joy. When we're changed, we're completely changed. No longer a worm, but we're metamorphed into this beautiful butterfly. And God wants to do that for each one of us, make us stronger and make us wiser. As we go through this, we will experience God's peace. For whatever reason, I know when I'm facing a time when I have to be patient and practice long-suffering, for whatever reason, I'm quiet, very, very quiet. And I don't know, I'm just waiting, and there's a peace, and I'm quiet during this time. I'm just waiting for the process to go through. This is accompanied by the fruit of joy. Apostle Paul prayed that we would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience, long-suffering with joy. Colossians 1:11. We must not become sluggish and impatient, but we are to imitate those through strength, faith, and patience inherit the promise. Hebrews 6:12. To walk in the Spirit, we must pursue patience, long-suffering in every area of our lives. You know, as we trust in the Lord, we wait on Him, wait patiently for Him, and He will sustain us. He will keep us. He will preserve us during this time. We don't have to become flustered. We don't have to become impatient. We don't have to become worried. But as we patiently wait on the Lord, we can trust Him and rest in Him as the storm is past. Whatever we're going through, whatever situations we're facing, we can patiently wait on Him. And as I said, this is like suffering long, but we're not alone. The Lord is with us, and He promises to keep us. He promises to be there with us during this time of waiting. So, you know, don't be impatient when you're going through a situation. Forgive. If you're facing a situation which grieved your spirit, just forgive. We are to forgive, that God's peace will come upon us. And when we forgive, we release ourselves from that prison, and we also release the person that may have offended us from the prison. If we're facing a difficult situation, just wait on Him, just wait on the Lord, and He will see us through this time. He will grant us His peace as well as joy. Remember, weeping may endure for a night, but joy certainly comes in the morning. And at the end of it all, when the Lord has worked this process through us, as I said before, we will become stronger. We will never overcome a situation overnight. It doesn't happen overnight, because God is working a purpose out in us. He's working patience in us. He's working tolerance in us. So therefore, we must trust Him, and it's only through the help of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to do this. And as I said, there comes the victory. And there comes the lesson learned. And there comes the ability to understand, to comprehend more, to see more than we ever dare to think or imagine. And we become wiser. And this is not the end of it. We will again be faced with another situation where we will have to practice being patient and long-suffering. And we continue to grow from glory to glory to become like the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in strength and maturity in Him. My precious friends throughout Radioland, I pray that this ministered to you. I pray that through the grace of God, we will walk in patience, in love, forgiving one another, being patient with one another, being kind and compassionate towards one another, not to be quick when we're going through a situation, but to be quick to forgive. And be ready to repent when we've sinned against the Lord, that He who is patient will forgive us. and restore us in whatever situations we are facing. So I pray that this ministered to you and that you were blessed as we continue to look to the Lord, to trust Him, to raise us up and to build us up into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact God Precious Pearls, you may do so by writing me at gppearls@ptd.net, or you may contact me through godspreciouspearls.blogspot.com or on Facebook, God's Precious Pearls. There are quite a few Facebook Precious Pearls, God's Precious Pearls Facebook out there. So if I can be identified with Finding My Way Radio Network added to my profile, this is how you'll find me. Be blessed, my dear friends throughout Radio Land, and let us strive to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Remember, as I said, we did study the fruit of joy, of love, joy, and peace, and now this is long-suffering. And our next talk will be on the fruit of kindness. I pray the Lord will continue to bless you and keep you, to protect you and guide you during this time. As we exercise patience during this pandemic, be patient as we seek the Lord for our safety. May the Lord bless you all. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.